Let's start the show. To the side joint this Saturday morning. I'm here at Dennis Holmes, Ignorant Thinker Podcast himself. I'm here with my co-host, the Chocolate Girl.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dennis. You know, this is my favorite day of the week. You know that, right?
Yeah.
It's my favorite day of the week.
Favorite day of the week. This is a very, very special day because, you know, we always try to get as many guests on here as possible, but we end up getting one of the Philadelphia 76ers super fans in the building. Also, a veteran in the wrestling community.
Known as Dr. Ruthless.
In the 76ers game, he's known as Big Daddy. Ladies and gentlemen, James Big Daddy Brister is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Nothing like being with your side drawn on a Saturday morning.
Hey. Let's be clear. He's the side joke. I'm not the side joke.
Always the side joke. I'm always the sneaky link. That's me. Just let everybody know that.
Him.
Now, before we get started, I want to know how was y'all week? How'd your week go?
Quiet. Pretty good.
Good. Good. Well, my week was busy. It's been a very busy week. Back and forth, up and down the road, taking care of family business, you know, working on flyers and trying to do videos and do work for some clients that I'm trying to get on with and do some proposals and so forth. So it's been a very busy week. I dropped 2 podcasts, you know, Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? I dropped 2 of those. So I've been very busy, very, very busy. What about you, Dennis?
Well, as everybody knows, it's my birthday week, so I've been taking things, you know, one day at a time. August 12th, 1985. That's right, I'm 37.
That is tomorrow.
Yes, I'm 37, so I just want everybody to know that. And y'all make sure that y'all send your birthday wishes out there. Send as many stars as you can. But as y'all know, today we have a special guest, Big Daddy, 76ers super fan. You ever seen the 76ers game? And you've seen the opposite team at the free throw line, and you ever wonder who that guy was that showed his stomach? Ladies and gentlemen, he's here. Just want to let y'all know that. That's right.
Man, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. How y'all doing? Big Daddy is here. But I want to, before we get to the 76ers, I want to start off, and I want to know about this wrestling career you had, Dr. Ruthless.
All right. Well, since the age of 12, I was a wrestling fan. I used to watch it with my grandmother, RIP. And she got me into the WWF, which is the WWE now. So I used to watch with her, and then I started watching NWA, and I just became a big fan. And then when I turned 24, I was at my job. I worked for a pharmaceutical company, and I was there. And another guy that I worked with was also a wrestling fan. And him and I, he was a big guy. His name's Aaron Gainey. He passed on too. And he went to me one day and said, if you could become a pro wrestler, would you do it? And I said, yeah. So he came back with an address to the Monster Factory, which is a wrestling school ran by Larry Sharp. So we went over to Jersey and we auditioned, and he liked us and he decided to train us. And we trained for a couple months, and the rest is history. I wrestled for 18 years. Took a break. I took a break for like a year and a half in 2006. and then came back and wrestled, and then I finished up. I injured my knee, and then after that, I was pretty much done, so I didn't go back to it. But it was a good career. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm still a wrestling fan. I watch wrestling almost every day. So yeah, it was a big part of my life.
Wow, mm-hmm.
That is nice. That's nice to know.
Fascinating.
Yeah, met a lot of people. Met a lot of the heroes that wrestled. You know, before, you know, when I was an actual fan, when you're actually in a locker room with somebody who you watch wrestle, it's a trip. Like it's humbling. And then when they come up to you and say, yeah, I liked your match or whatever, I'm like, wow, I remember watching you wrestle at Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania. Now you're saying you like my match? Like, you know, it's a big thing.
Yeah, I seen you met Scott Hall, the bad guy. Rest in peace to the bad guy. Yeah,
Scott Hall and you name it. I met him or been in the locker room with him. So
it was, Wait a minute. Did you meet Rick? Was it Flair?
I never met Rick Flair.
That's the only wrestler that's alive right now that I would love. You know, to meet is Ric Flair.
There's a lot of wrestlers I love to meet, but the one I wanted to meet before he passed away was Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I would have loved to met Dusty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would have loved to met Dusty.
Ric Flair for me.
Dusty had some swag with
him. He's funky as a monkey.
Yeah, Dusty had some swag with him, man. I wanted to meet Dusty. But yeah, that's how I was seeing that you was a wrestler, and I was like, oh, he was a wrestler too. I was like, man, you've done a lot, man. You know, not just being the 76ers super fan, but I mean, you know, I've seen that you actually been out there, you know, giving your sermon, preaching.
Yes, I am an ordained deacon, and I'm studying to be a minister now. So, yeah, it's a process.
It is a process. I know a couple guys that they didn't become ministers until I want to say about 12 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just It's a story to it, but long story short, it seemed like every time I got started, something happened medically, and I couldn't finish. So so now putting all bad stuff to the side, I know I'm gonna try it again. You know, the devil ain't gonna hold me back from what God has ordained for my life.
That's good.
All right now.
So yeah, I am an ordained deacon. I did do that. I've been ordained deacon for about 12 years now. And like I said, I was going to go to an actual school, but my Apostle Thompson said that he would train me and come up under him and become a minister that way. So I said I would do it that way because anybody's watching, say what's up to my people from EAL, Ever Abundant Life Ministries. So yeah, coming up underneath my Apostle Alexander Thompson, and he's a blessed person, and he's been a big, you know, influence in my life since I've known him.
That's good. It's definitely good to hear. I haven't been to that church, but I might be swinging by there.
Come on down. It's a blessed time.
That's good. Now, when did you become a Sixers fan? Because you became a wrestling fan at 12.
Well, I was a Sixers fan since I was 10. So I've been a Sixers fan since, and I'm really dating myself, since that first time they played the Lakers and was it 81?
Wow.
So yeah, I was I was sneaking trying to watch those games. So I watched as much as I could before I had to go to bed. So when I woke up the next day and heard the Sixers lost and Magic Johnson had a triple-double and blah, 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 blah. We know the rest of that story. Yeah, I see you smiling over there. But yeah, yeah. Yeah, that broke my heart. But yeah, I've been a Sixers fan for years. Like, I played basketball in high school, won a state championship and everything. So, you know, always been into basketball and, you know, and balling and stuff. And Sixers always been like, to me. So when I actually had a chance to go down to the games and stuff, and the story about me being a Sixers fan and everything, I know you're coming around to that question, was I was – went to a game one time and we had really good seats and I was sitting maybe a couple rows back and Morris Day and the Time came on, you know, that song, The Bird. So that song came up and me being the buffoon that I am, I stood up and started doing The Bird. So I'm standing up doing The Bird and there's a big camera on me. So everybody's watching and laughing and stuff. So don't put a camera on me because I'm really going to show off this.
That's right.
So I really got into it and I danced. And they kept putting the camera on me. So during the game, the guy ends up being, he's the head of in arena talent now is Derek Hayes. He came up to me and he said, do you have season tickets? And I said, no. And he was like, well, we're going to give you tickets for you to do exactly what you did today. And I'm like, okay, cool. So he's like, anytime you want to come down, hit me up and we'll give you tickets to come in.
So wow. I said, cool.
So I came down a couple of times and they were setting up like little dance contests here and there. And I was the plant. So they would get some big buff guy to come out there and dance, whatever. And he think he was going to win, thinking here's this fat guy. He ain't going to be able to do nothing. And then I start dancing and the crowd go nuts. And the guy be like, so I did that a couple of times. And then Derek came up to me and he said, look, we have a big man's dance team here called the Broad Street Beefcakes. And they want you to audition. So I said, cool. So I went to the place to audition. And an audition for the head choreographer and everything. And the first time around, she was like, oh, you're in. She was like, oh, you're in.
Wow.
So I did that for a year and a half.
Broad Street Beefcakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Never heard of them.
They'll come up. Yeah, there was a big man's dance team that they had down because they had them in Chicago and Philadelphia and a couple other states actually had big man's dance teams. And that was a good experience because with my wrestling background, that taught me that you got to get in where you fit in because you got a bunch of egos. And this is a bunch of fat guys with a bunch of egos. Everybody had their separate ego. So I had to get in where I could fit in. So when they disbanded the group, I kept coming to the games. It wasn't about dancing or nothing like that. It was about being a part of the crowd and being watching the games or whatever. I love watching live games. So I kept coming. And they kept giving me tickets here and there. And they gave me tickets to a playoff game. So it was when we were playing the Miami Heat. Yeah. That's when LeBron and Wade and Bosh was there and Boo. Anyway, that's when we were playing. And it was a home game. And I started dancing one time. It Takes Two came on from Rob Bates.
I
started hitting it and everything. And somebody filmed it. They filmed it. Next thing you know, it was all over the internet the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes ESPN Radio calling me. Saying, hey, we want to interview you if you're on mine because we seen the game last night. So I said, cool. Answer the phone. And my boss was the one who called. He called in before me and said, yeah, that's the guy who worked for me. Yeah, and he told them my name and everything. So that's why they called me and everything. So I did the interview with them. And the next thing you know, this clip shows up all over TV and all over the internet. And not to sound like I'm bragging or anything, but I had went viral before viral was a thing. So I wish it would have happened around about now.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't be giving it up a Darby right now, but I'm just saying. Yeah. But when going viral, before it was a thing, I did it. So that's when I met with Derek Hayes again. He called me into the office. He was like, so how can we expand on this thing? And I, you know, him and I bounced ideas off one another. And
no, say that name again. Say that name again.
Derek Hayes.
Okay.
He's the guy who hooked me up. And and I got to, you know, him and I bounced ideas off one another. And then it went to the Revolutionaries. That's when we had our own separate section at the games where they got some of the craziest fans to come down and cheer for the Sixers, whatever. So that went on for about 3 or 4 years while the team wasn't doing as well and they can afford to.
Right. Trust in the process.
Yeah, trust. That was, yeah, that was the trust the process years when we was like 10 and 72, whatever. But I stayed consistent. And I kept coming and kept doing what I'm doing and I stayed professional because a lot of these cats came down there. They was doing stuff they wasn't supposed to be doing because a lot of these kids were college kids who really didn't appreciate the fact that you were getting a gift horse in the mouth. And they was getting premium tickets to come down here and cheer and just watch the game. But they want to do their own thing. They want to yell at the players from the other team. They want to come down there drunk or doing whatever. It wasn't about that for me. No. It was about helping the team. So that's why I stayed consistent. And even when they disbanded the Revolutionaries, they kept giving me tickets because I stayed consistent. I did what I was supposed to do. I knew the blessing I had. That was a blessing, you know, and they didn't have to do that. And they did. And a lot of people, they were selling tickets. Like, come on, man.
Wow.
They have a handful of tickets like this and never sold a one. I gave them out like I was supposed to.
Wow. I was supposed
to give these tickets out. Have I seen a couple of kids? You know, in the street or whatever, and they wouldn't do anything, I'd give you a couple tickets, come to the game. That's what I was doing. Instead of trying
to. Wow. All right.
Yeah, I'm blessed. God has been good to me.
Me too. All the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is definitely good to know, man. Did not know the Sixers was giving out tickets like that.
Yeah, because even if
I started podcasting at the wrong time. Let me get that out the way.
You could have got free tickets because when the team was doing bad, they was giving them out. They was even having us go over to Xfinity Live and pass out tickets there. But then people got hip to it, and then it just turned to a thing, and they stopped doing it.
Wow.
That's good. That's good. Revolutionary. That was just like, I guess that was a group of supposed to be super fans.
Supposed to be super fans, but only a couple of us was actually super fans.
Yeah, so only it's kind of crazy because the Facebook group that we're in together, 24/7 Sixers, it was the Facebook group that we're actually in together. Joey was running it. He would throw like little things together, you know, for the Sixers games. Like before the game, he'll have us play on a basketball court, or after the game and stuff like that. Or he'll have a cookout and stuff. You know, he was doing a lot of stuff during that trust the process time, and I was like, wow, he is doing a lot for a guy to be living in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Joey was a good guy. He really was. RIP. He definitely be missed. And I was the one that hooked him up with that commercial that we had did.
Right. He said that you gave him the phone call for the commercial.
Yeah.
Because you said that he should be there.
Yeah, he definitely should have because he had more Sixers crap and was had a Sixers tattoo and stuff. He was a dedicated hardcore Sixers fan. So when they asked if I knew anybody, he was the first person I thought of other than me was him. So when I heard he had passed on, I was like,
definitely did a good job on that commercial. I got to give y'all that. And I think you did the documentary as well.
Yeah, because when the ESPN had called me for that, and they wanted me to be a part of it because they had a couple of people that they had in mind that they wanted to interview, and they had called me up and came to my house and interviewed me and stuff. It was good. And then even the Sixers had a camera team following me around like a documentary one time too. So I did that too. So it was good to been blessed. That's all I can keep saying. It's just been a blessing the whole way through.
Now you come to the game dressed different.
Yes. Yes.
Now where are you getting this creativity from dressed different every time you come to the game?
It's all Big Daddy. It's all Big Daddy. It's all whatever comes to my mind. Like I had a guy who was making the shirts for me, who I met through at the game. He came up to me and said he could make shirts or whatever. So he came out and I went to his house and he measured me and whatever. He was making me shirts and, you know, the wigs and stuff is all my idea. It goes back to the wrestling because, you know, in wrestling, you got to be you have to come up with different things to make yourself relevant. So that's what I did. And that's what I continued, you know, always kept in my mind. I got to do something different. I got to do, you know, I never wanted to come down there with the same thing, you know, 2 days in a row or two games in a row. I always wanted to switch it up.
Right. That's good. Now, you're dancing big man, so I got to ask you, what's your favorite song?
All right. I'm going to give you three different songs that I like, three different types of music. All right. My favorite rap group is Public Enemy, but my favorite dance song would be It Takes Two because, you know, the emotion that Rob Bass or whatever. Now, my favorite reggae song, because I'm a big reggae fan, it's Kenny Dope featuring Shaggy, Gunshot. If it's back, it's a 90s song, you have to look it up. But that's one of my favorite. Like, I love dancing to that. I love house music. House music I like dancing to, too. So, you know, whatever that can make, you know, makes me, you know, I'm old school. So I like old school hip hop. So anything old school. Hip hop make me dance, but you know, definitely on Rob Bass or Digital Underground Humpty Dance. Yeah,
right.
That's one of my favorites.
Do the Humpty Hump.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now what made you say when they shoot free throws, I'm pulling my shirt up to distract. I just wanna know. Because I mean, like, how does he know just to do this? And it's crazy because a lot of people you'll see players pointing at you like, yo, and like
because it was just me being a nut and me being, you know, me being me. So I said, I want to do something to make a miss. And everybody's waving the things and doing whatever. So I get you. I pulled my shirt up. And when they filmed it that time, when we was at the playoff game, I didn't know the camera was on me when I did it. And then I looked over and I seen Derek Hayes. He was over there laughing. And I texted him, like, what's so funny? And he was like, they just put you on TV. Everybody on TNT just seen you lifting your shirt up. And I cracked up laughing. And man, by the time I got home, I was getting so many texts and stuff. Like, people's like, I saw you on TV. Oh my God. And then the people from TNT came over to me, and they was after the game. They was like, we want you to come over because we want you to do a little thing with Charles Barkley. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went over there, and that's when him and Shaq was having a weight loss thing, and they was having a
they were showing their stomachs, their
shirt off or whatever. So that's what they said.
I remember that.
You do it too. And I did it, and then Shaq and Barkley's reaction and stuff. I watched that sometime and crack up laughing, like, I'm just a nut. But it was funny.
I like when I seen you on NBA TV with Shannon's boyfriend, Chris Webber. Look at her face.
You like Chris Webber, huh?
No.
Oh, you don't like Chris Webber?
No, I do not.
That's her boyfriend, Chris Webber.
No.
What you got against Chris Webber?
I don't like that dude.
That's going to be a long conversation.
No, it's not.
You ready for that? Oh,
no,
man,
it's not. It's not going to be long. I just don't like him.
We'll be here all week.
I just do not like him ever since college. I don't like him. No.
Michigan?
Yeah, he went to Michigan.
She went to Michigan State. Let me help that out.
Oh, now it makes sense.
No, I just don't like him because I love Jalen Rose now. I love Jalen Rose, but I can't stand Webber, Chris Webber.
Mm-mm. What about Juwan Howard?
I don't care for him either. No. The only one I like is Jalen. He's the only one I like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, all the 76ers love, did they ever let you ring the bell?
No. And I've been asking. I want to ring the bell.
Right.
Why?
I haven't done was ring the bell.
Y'all have to look. I'm not a Philly girl, so y'all got to explain to me what's the big thing about ringing this bell.
Before the game, they'll have a different celebrity or somebody come up and ring the Liberty Bell three times, and it's the whole thing before they announce the starting five. That's what they'll do. And everybody named Mother has done it two times over, and Big Daddy hasn't done it yet. So anybody out there watching, hit the Sixers up and tell them you want to see Big Daddy ring the bell.
Then you know he's going to do that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
Big Daddy wants to ring the bell.
Okay.
We're going to have to call up Derek. We're going to have to get together and talk to Derek. Can't you ring the bell?
Cool.
That's right. It's only fair.
Got to have you ring the bell.
It's only fair.
Yeah. Me and my uncle was asking about your last game we was at. He was like, what happened to Big Daddy? I was like, I don't really know what happened to him. But then I looked up and I seen it. No, on my Facebook, I seen that you was actually at the game in the club seat.
In the booth.
And I was like, oh, no, he just don't sit down there no more.
Mm-mm. With the pandemic. And I got certain health issues, so I couldn't be, I can't afford to really get sick and knocking on wood. And thank God that I haven't ever caught COVID because COVID killed my uncle in a week.
Wow.
When we first shut everything down,
yeah.
My uncle, was on he was going to dialysis, and he went to his dialysis center, caught COVID, was diagnosed with it on a Saturday, and was dead by the next Saturday. So it was a week.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's cool. It's my favorite uncle, but yeah, he's in a better place. I've dealt with it, but since then, I've been really careful about how many times I go to the game and who I shake hands with, who I'm around, always with the mask, constantly alcohol in my hands. I even, certain people, even if coming to my house, you better do, I'm being careful because I can't afford to get sick. So
that's right.
God has blessed me immensely and got me here. So I'm not going to do anything to screw it up.
It blessed all of us.
That's right.
I was traveling heavy last year during COVID. And Shannon used to get me worried.
Yeah, I was worried, man.
You called me up, cuss me out.
Yep.
You better have your mask on.
I have no shame in my game. I was worried sick about this.
She wasn't the only one. Elisa called me. We go to the Eagles game. She had me put on, I think she must have been put on two masks. No, you need another mask. How many masks you need to wear? This is COVID. You live in COVID. This is COVID in Atlanta. That's how I was telling her, but she was like, I ain't trying to hear that. We ain't getting COVID.
That's right.
I still wear that mask.
I do too.
I got my mask on.
I wear it everywhere I go. I never stop wearing it.
And I ain't going to stop. until they say it's completely gone, which it probably won't.
Right.
I'm going to stop wearing that mask.
That is a true story. Now, how many Sixers players and coaches, you know, have you met?
All right. Let me see. Dr. J, Bobby Jones.
Oh, you met Bobby Jones. Wow.
And I'm going to say this name and you're probably going to say boo. Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid. You name them. I met a ton of them. And a ton of the coaches, too. Like, I haven't met Doc Rivers yet.
Oh, I thought you met Doc. I got to take a picture with Doc. I'm Doc Ocean. So I got to take a picture with Doc one day.
I haven't met Dr. Dr. J, yeah, I met him. And met him a couple times. Like we were talking about before we started. He's a really nice guy. Really nice guy. My favorite Sixer. So bunch of cats that's been over the years that's been Sixers players or whatever that I might have seen or, you know, shook their hands or whatever. And actually, I thought Ben Simmons was cool because he used to come up to me all the time and shake my hand and say what's up and blah, blah, blah. And
I mean, he might be cool. He might just got a problem with the organization and the way things went. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I've learned at first it was, you know, F Ben Simmons, but I learned to just like, you know what? He's at a new team. Hopefully he do new things over there.
Whatever's going on with him mentally, I think it's a mental problem. I just hope he gets over it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever meet Iggy?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, met Iggy and his mother came up to me at one game because I had one of those big heads with him on it when he was playing. And I was holding it up through the game and she came up and she said, where'd you get that from? I said, well, the organization gave it to me. She was like, oh, because it's my son and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, yeah, that's your son. So yeah, but yeah, she was really nice. I took a picture with her. She was really nice. Really nice lady.
Did you meet Eric Snow?
I did meet Eric Snow. Wasn't a particular fan of him.
That's my boy. I don't care. I went to school with his brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the back one time and I went up to take a picture and he was like, yeah, all right, hurry up. I'm like, okay. All right. But outside of that, yeah, I met him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got to talk about it. They're planning on moving the Sixers Stadium downtown Philadelphia. I only thing I see that's going to happen with this in my eyes is that the parking prices are going to be through the roof. And a lot of people were saying if they move the stadium, where are they going to tailgate at? Now, with you being a super fan, how many Sixers tailgates have you been on?
I haven't been to any, but that's because just me, I get down there right before the game and I'm just, you know, I kind of, you know, not that I'm offish towards fans or whatever, but I kind of distance myself from, you know, I just don't want any dumbness. So I really haven't been to any. But with them putting that stadium downtown, I think it's a mistake. I don't think that's a smart thing. Like, one, like you said, the parking is going to be ridiculous. And people who can't afford to pay for that parking is going to have to park on the street. So the only people that's going to make money out of that is the PPA and the people who own them parking garages. And
Scepter.
And Scepter.
Mm-hmm.
And Scepter. And then, and I'm saying this with no disrespect, where they want to put it ain't the greatest area. Do I want to be walking out of there at 10 o'clock at night? No. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's a good idea. I just don't think it's good. I think they should leave it where it is. That's what we're comfortable with. You know, the parking is easy. You know, it's still easy access to Scepter. So I don't understand what the problem is. Why would you want to move it? Just update what you got. There's so much room. If you really want to do it over, then just build up the Wells Fargo, knock down that Xfinity, and you got so much area there that you could put a bigger stadium there if you really wanted to. Outside of moving it downtown. And if you put it downtown, it's going to jam everything up. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree with that. I think they should keep the sports complex as the sports complex.
Exactly.
That's what I think because, you know, my whole life I've been going to South Philly to watch games. So I don't think it should stop.
Exactly.
I think it should keep it there. Eagles,
the Flyers, the Sixers, everybody play right there.
And now you have readapted the whole Spectrum thing. So might as well rebuild it, call it the Spectrum, and get back together. I mean, y'all keep doing these Spectrum jerseys and Spectrum City stuff, you know, call it the Spectrum Part 2 or whatever. Exactly. But just get another one right there in South Philly. That's all.
Exactly. Right
there in
that same section. Right where it is. Right where it is, where people are comfortable and where we're used to going.
Right. I mean, it's good that we could leave a Phillies game and go to a Sixers game, or we could leave an early morning Eagles game and then go to a Sixers game right across the street.
Exactly. Because imagine if the Eagles are playing the same day as the Sixers, then you got people that got to travel all the way from South Philly into Center City with that traffic. Come on now. This don't make sense. I don't think it's well thought out.
Yeah, that ain't gonna be good.
No.
I'm gonna leave with my last question there. I need to know your top five Sixers.
Top five Sixers.
Top five 76ers.
All right. Dr. J. Okay. Maurice Cheeks. Allen Iverson. Ooh. JoJo.
Joel Embiid.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to say Bobby Jones.
No Eric Snow?
No Eric Snow.
No Charles Barkley is what I want to know.
Yeah, well, you know. Charles is my MVP
Moses?
Okay. One, with Charles Barkley, the way he left out of here left a bad taste in my mouth. The way he wanted to get traded and I'm leaving Philly, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Like, I like him, but I didn't like the way he left. And with Moses, he was kind of rude to me, too. The RIP. But he was at a game one time, and I tried to get his attention so I can get a picture. And he pretty much said, screw me. So, no. He brought us a championship, and I can appreciate that. But I can't get past the fact he was rude to me. But everybody else that I mentioned. And Bobby Jones was overly nice. Like, he took the picture, and we talked for a hot minute. And I'm like, wow, this is Bobby Jones.
Right. It's my dad's guy, Bobby Jones. And what's the Boston Strangler? That's another one of those guys. But Chocolate Girl, it's on you, baby.
Well, my first question is, what do you think about the Sixers in the upcoming season that's coming up?
I think we're at a crossroads now. Because we went through the trouble of bringing James Harden in. And when we first brought James Harden in, yeah, I was excited about it myself. But then when I actually watched him play, I'm like, okay, maybe this guy's time has went past. And maybe that's why Brooklyn was so eager to get rid of him. If he plays like we all know he can and put him next to JoJo and – if Tobias Harris comes around and does what he's supposed to do, maybe we can make a run. But it really, like, Maxey is going to improve. He really is, but he's young, but he's going to improve. My whole thing is, the main thing that really all this hinges on is James Harden and Tobias.
True. You think they're going to pull it out?
We got to get past that second round. If we can get past that second round, I'll be happy.
So what was your expectations when they announced that you all were getting James Harden? What was your expectations?
At first, when I heard that we were trying to trade for him, I was against it. Like, nah, I don't know. I don't know about that. But then, because they wanted to get rid of Thibault, and he was a part of that talk, and Tyrese Maxey was a part of that talk and blah, 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 blah. So I wasn't with it. But when we kept Thibault and kept Maxey and the people who we got rid of, I was like, all right, well, anyway. So when we brought him in, I'm like, okay, this actually worked. And then I seen him and JoJo with the pick and roll and he was scoring. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, okay, here we go. Championship. I'm going to be on Broad Street. And then it fizzled. So.
But you didn't see that. See, okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you why I'm asking this question, because
you saw it coming.
I saw it coming. This is his MO. This is him everywhere he goes. And so I'm like, what did y'all really expect him to do anything differently here? I'm just like, why?
I thought putting him next to JoJo and Mike.
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You gotta remember who you're talking about. James Harden is James Harden. He has delusions of grandeur. So whenever he's on the court, he He thinks he is the best thing on the court and nobody moves without him. This is what he believes. So if he doesn't play, ain't nobody gonna play. That's how he feels.
And it really didn't pan out.
Didn't pan out.
Miami, you could have won that Miami series. And then when they didn't, I was like, something, we got to do something. And I still think that we have to do something. I know they brought in PJ Tucker and they brought in Daniel House, blah, 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 blah. But you still
need blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, these are just fill-in players. You still need another score. And I don't think we have that.
Let me tell you, when they gave away the farm to get James Harden, it kind of hurt them.
I think we gave away one too many draft picks. I'll be honest with you about
that too.
Yeah.
And I also feel y'all should have kept Seth Curry.
Yeah, Curry went to Brooklyn and did well.
I know. But yeah, but
as far as losing Drummond, I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that wasn't a factor, but y'all should have kept Seth because you needed that shot, that shooter. You needed him.
Yeah, but I was hoping that Curry was gonna, I'm sorry, I was hoping that Harden was gonna come in and be that.
Yeah, but it
didn't happen.
Come on. This is James Harden, y'all.
Well, he was in Houston. He was lighting people up.
Until the playoffs. I went to
Wells Fargo one time and watched Harden have like 40.
So what? Did they win?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. No, it doesn't matter. He's a highlight reel. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a poor teammate, and he doesn't win. He fizzles out in the playoffs. He doesn't care about anybody but himself. He's a selfish guy. That's just who he is. And I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm just speaking the facts and what I see.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I just really wanted to ask a Philly fan, how did they feel? Because I was like laughing. I was like, Philly, y'all, what are y'all doing? You know what I mean? Did you really think that was the answer?
I thought it could have been. We had to do something. Got to do something.
I sat on the Tuesday night show, and I told Dennis, I said, Dennis, he's not going to help y'all. You're not going to fare off any better.
And Father Time is still working against him because all he's doing is getting older. So
he doesn't care. He got his check. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's not even about the career for him. It's about the check.
Yeah. Well, he gave some money back.
And can he get? Yeah, but that's just smoke and mirrors. He really don't care about that. He knows he's going to get that same money back on the back end. They try to make it sound like he's doing something so honorable, try to be a good teammate. Man, please. Nah.
Sharon, this is not a bash your boyfriend show.
Okay, anyway.
You done bashed two boyfriends on you. This is not a bash your boyfriend show.
Dennis, you're my only boyfriend, so why are you talking about somebody else?
You're right. This is not bash your old boyfriend show.
No, anyway. So when the fans go to a 76ers game and you're there, mm-hmm. Tell the fans out there, what do they expect to see from you when they go? How do you impact the 76ers game experience?
Well, you'll always, like, if, especially when I was sitting down low and people were sitting around me, you know you're going to laugh. You know I'm going to get you to cheer for the team. You know it's going to be intense. So if you come to a game and Big Daddy is there and you're sitting near Big Daddy, just know it's going to be loud. I'm going to cheer. I'm going to be funny. I'm going to say something. I'm going to get in the other players' faces. You know what I'm saying? If they're on the court, I don't mess with nobody on the bench. But if they're on the court, I'm going to yell and scream. I'm going to flash my belly. Between timeouts, you're going to see me dance. So you get the whole experience.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going
this to. This is the whole nine.
You come to that, you're going to be entertained.
You're going to be entertained. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this question, too. Mm-hmm. So what player or team in the NBA that you just don't like?
Boston. I said that.
Okay. Boston. Hey, me too. Celtics. See, we got some camaraderie here. We agree. So let me ask you this question. So y'all playing Boston, right?
Uh-huh.
Big Daddy's in the house.
Uh-huh.
And Marcus Smart dumps the ball off to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum pulls up from 30. Makes a play. You mad as hell. You mad, right?
I'm mad as hell.
Mad. And Jason Tatum is running back up the court. What you going to say to JT? What you going to say from your seat? What you going to say?
I'm going to call him a bum. I'm going to say he stinks. I'm gonna, some type of light-skinned joker's going to come out of that. I'm going to say something. Spur of the moment, especially if it's Marcus Smart. I'm going to say something to get him mad. And he like fighting fans. Come on up in the fan and fight me. But yeah, I hate Boston. I can't stand Boston. We played Boston in game 7 one time, and I got tickets. And I drove to Boston to go see them. And those fans are very arrogant. They harassed me the whole time. They were just, I hate them. Can't stand them.
Yeah, I can't either.
They harassed me the whole time. We were leaving, and they continued to harass me. Listen, on my way out the door after they won.
Listen, Big Daddy. I don't like any team in Boston.
None of them.
None of them. No matter the sport.
Screw the Celtics. Screw the Patriots. Screw anybody.
Red Sox. Like
Red Sox. Screw them.
The Bruins.
Screw them.
All of them.
Screw them.
That's the way I am, too. So, and you do get that. I think Dennis asked you earlier about that preferential seating. Do you get up in the box now? You up in the
I'm up in the box now. And it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different. But, you know, eventually I'm going to get back to the floor. But, it's easier to get into and, you know, pretty much sit. Like, some people come, but the fans are different. Like, the fans that sit down low are really passionate. And right. No respect to the fans that sit in the box. They're kind of laid back. They're on their date night. They're with their boo. They're in there chilling, eating nachos, and don't want to cheer. Nah, man. Like, to me, you know, I'm still up there shouting defense. I'm up there, defense, defense. I'm looking around, and people looking like, you know, like, nah.
Right.
That's why I like it down on the floor for everybody else, because they're like, them Philly fans are intense. Intense.
I just want to say they treat me like that too, because I ain't with the boo or nothing. I'm screaming. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm in there screaming. Me and my brothers and my cousin and my uncle, we in there screaming.
And that's what you supposed to do.
My brother, he ain't never been that close at a Sixers game. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, "Oh, I know Joel can hear me now. Last time I was in the nosebleeds, he couldn't hear me. He can hear me now." That was crazy.
See, they hear you. To me, that's the whole reason you go to a game. You didn't go to a game to be sitting there quiet.
You would be surprised of some of the people who come to these games, and this might offend some people, but it is what it is. But you see these girls with their tight jeans on and their stilettos who's falling all over the place when they get down there because they can't walk in them heels on the metal parts or whatever. But they come down there and they're all cute and trying to attract the ball player, and they don't want to get, like, you know, it's like, come on, why are you here? I'm here to cheer for my team. I ain't here to be seen. I ain't here to try to attract nobody, this, that, and the fourth. I'm here to cheer for my team because I'm
that's a right.
business fan.
All business.
Twisted at.
It's all business. Now, up in that box, I just got to know. Have you ever seen anything strange up there? What's the strangest thing that you've ever seen go on up in the box?
I haven't seen anything, really. I can't say nothing. I haven't seen anything strange.
Somebody getting in there or
something. No, nothing. No. Because when I've been up there, it's just, like I said, it's company people or whatever, and they're just pretty much sitting around and watching the game, but nothing, ain't nothing freaky sneaky going on. No, really, it's kind of tame.
No sneaky links up there?
Nah.
But originally, are you from Philadelphia originally?
I was born in West Oak Lane, and my family moved to New Jersey when I was 10. And I lived in Willingboro, New Jersey. I graduated from Delran High School in 1989. So I lived in Jersey for a while. So I consider myself a Jersey boy, but I was born and raised. Pretty much born and spent a lot of time in Philadelphia. I live in, you know, Upper Darby right now, which is you know, pretty much Philadelphia. So yeah, I live in Philly now, but I spent a lot of time in New Jersey. So between the tri-state area, pretty much where I was born and raised, or whatever. But I prefer New Jersey a little better. It's a lot quieter, a lot easy going. People are a little bit nicer.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Better. So your favorite 76er ever is
Julius Irvin.
Is Julius Irvin.
Yes.
Do you feel like he's the greatest 76er of all time?
All time. All time. Who's the greatest then?
You shake. Who is it, Dennis?
Well, the still champion.
No. He was a Laker.
He was a Sixer too. Okay.
I know, but
I know what you mean.
Okay, well.
Julius had the sneakers, so I'll give you that.
And Julius, so in addition.
And Julius, when you think of Sixers, you think of Julius Irvin.
That's right, you do.
Yeah.
And I don't really think of any other team. Mm-hmm, the fro Julius.
Yeah,
the fro Julius. Big old afro.
Dunking from the free throw line.
From the free throw line, yep.
Yeah.
But now, so you're a huge Sixers fan, but are you also just an NBA fan? Are you an avid, like, NBA person that follows the NBA and the history of it and all that?
I could rattle off stuff from the NBA since the 80s. Like, mm-hmm. I followed just basketball in general, but I followed college. I followed the NBA. I watched the WNBA. That's how much I like basketball, how much I like the NBA. Like, I got into a whole thing on Facebook about these WNBA players not getting paid a lot. And a lot of people mm-hmm. say, well, they don't generate the money that the NBA mm-hmm. does. Who really watches it? I watch it. And if Philadelphia had a WNBA team, I would be there every game.
See,
that's how much I like watching them.
I knew I was gonna like you. I'm a big WNBA advocate.
I love really the WNBA. These girls need someplace to play. And I think before then, back when I was in high school, or you know, whatever, the girls would go as far as college and then they were playing overseas or whatever, but we didn't mm-hmm. have any place where these girls could play. And these
that's
girls
right.
deserve to play in the United States and they deserve to get paid for it. And the sidetrack, you got Brittany Griner over there rotting in Russia right now. She mm-hmm. if you would have paid her enough, she might not have went over there.
That's right.
I'm not excusing what she did. I'm just saying.
I agree with you 100%.
LeBron is getting 44 next season, 44 mil, and the entire mm-hmm. WNBA is only going to generate 16 million. How mm-hmm. is that even fair?
It's not.
It's not the highest paid player in the WNBA. I think makes 250 grand.
Something like that.
That's
they make more in endorsements than they do from the salary.
Exactly. That's less than the minor person in the NBA. I think theirs is 75,000.
Well, you know, with the state of college sports now, with their NIL deals, they're gonna be making more money than the WNBA players are.
Exactly. It's not fair.
It's really awful.
They deserve to get paid more money. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the games are entertaining. If you actually sit there, if you're a pure basketball fan, you can sit and watch those games and entertain. You don't need somebody to dunk every 15 minutes.
No. Thank you. No. I'm glad to hear somebody else say that besides me. And when I do my WNBA debate show, I will be asking you to come on because I need you.
I need
my backup because I'm telling you, I fight this fight all the time.
I would definitely do that show, and I would advocate for these girls. I don't think they get paid enough.
No, they don't. And I understand nobody's expecting them to get paid as much as NBA players. That's not my expectation right now. Mm-mm. But the disparity is just so extremely great. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that. And they deserve to have those charter flights.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
They got to sleep in the airport. Like
200 was the 250 million. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's making his contract in that entire league. How is that fair?
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. So, Mr. Student of the game and studier of the NBA, I have a question for you.
I'm ready.
Now, If you had to pick a team outside of Philadelphia 76ers to root for in the NBA, what team would it be?
San Antonio.
Why?
You see, I said that quick. Because San Antonio's organization, I think, is good because they stayed relevant for years.
25.
And yeah. They bring pieces in and rotate their pieces, and people get there and they use them to the best of their ability. Tim Duncan made a career there. Ginobili. Dang it. Tony Parker. These cats came in before then. It was Sean Elliott, David Robinson, all these cats. Like, they always had good pieces, and they bring in foreign players who play well. And the Popovich is probably the best coach in the league right now, if not one of the best coaches of all time. And they just win. They just win. It ain't a bunch of trash talking. It ain't a bunch of garbage. They just come in and win. It ain't like with the Lakers and anything like that. Like, they actually play good ball. So.
Hey, I ain't going to put up with too many more Lakers shots. I'm just letting you know. Don't let the smile fool you. I'll get you. But anyway, my final question. Mm-hmm. Well, my final question before I get to my special closeout questions is, who are your top five NBA players of all time? Can you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 for me?
Okay. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say at 5 would be Ralph Sampson. At 4 would be Julius. No, scratch that. At 4 would be Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. At 3 would be Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. I would say David Robinson, 3. Michael Jordan, 2, and Julius Erving, 1. No, wait, scratch that. Remove David Robinson and put Dominique Wilkins in there, 3. Dominique Wilkins, Jordan, Julius. There you go.
That's a very interesting list. I've never seen Ralph Sampson on anybody's top 5 list all-time player, ever.
I loved Ralph Sampson when he went to the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved him then. And then when he came to the NBA and played for Houston, and then when you put Hakeem Olajuwon there at the Twin Towers, I loved them. And then they played Boston in the finals, and that damn Boston and that damn Larry Bird, can't stand Larry Bird. Ooh, I hate Larry Bird. But anyway, and they went to beat the Rockets. And I was always like, Rob Sampson would have been that guy if injuries didn't get to him. His knees went bad, and then that was it with Ralph Sampson.
And that was it. That was it.
His knees didn't get bad. Ralph Sampson was that guy. I loved Ralph. I even had his sneakers. And his sneakers, these were like these maroon Pumas that I was wearing when I played. They didn't even match my uniform, and I still wore them because they was Ralph Sampson.
Okay. Ralph Sampson. Did you think he was better than Olajuwon?
No. Well, Olajuwon is probably the best center, one of the best centers of all time, but it's just my personal favorite was just Ralph Sampson. I just liked the way he played, how quick he was. But him next to Hakeem, now Hakeem was that guy. He won them 2 championships for them in the mid-90s. Not mid-90s, 93, 94. That was Hakeem.
I don't think he won it for him. I think Jordan won because he was retired. That's how he won. But yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
A whole other story.
Well, yeah, because Chicago would have won 8 championships in a row.
Sure would. I say it all the time, and people get mad when I say it. Well, that's ridiculous. You can't say that. Yes, I can.
I agree. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bulls would have won 8 straight.
Sure would have.
Jordan didn't take them 2 years off.
Sure would have. Easily. It's not even a question to me. But anyway, hey, so whenever I do these interviews with our wonderful guests, I like to close out my segment with the 5-star shout out. And this is 5 rapid fire questions, one of which I had on here you've already answered. So I'm going to replace it with a different one. And I'll tell you what that was after we get finished. But
okay,
rapid fire. Just first thing that comes to your mind, we're going to move on to the next one. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Does sugar go on grits?
No.
If you had to choose ESPN or FS1?
ESPN.
Flats or drums?
Both.
Take a shot. All right. 4. Jay-Z or Nas?
Nas.
Okay. I'm sorry. And my final question was, do you watch the WNBA? I always end with that one. And you do, and you do. So that's cool. So I'm gonna change my question up. So my question is, who is the GOAT of the NBA?
Michael Jordan.
That's right. Back to you, Vince. Yeah. You redeemed yourself on that last question.
I only got one question left. Do you think that Philadelphia needs to have a WNBA team?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He mentioned that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. And I would love it if they did. I would love it. I would be at every game. I'm serious.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be at every game, but I'd be at a lot of them.
Well, I'm telling you, I've been pulling for them to bring the Sting back to Charlotte. Because if so, I'm getting season tickets. That's it.
I'll be at every game cheering and acting a fool just like I did at the Sixers game. So, yeah, I do believe Philadelphia should have a WNBA.
And Charlotte is 2.5 hours away from me. It's worth the trip.
Okay.
I'm going to support my girls.
That's good to hear. Now, do you have any final words for us, Big Daddy, that you want to put out there to the fans?
Talk to the people.
First and foremost, I want to thank everybody who has supported me and who's been by my side the entire time. I want to thank, you know, all my fans and all my family out there. And mainly, I want to thank my Heavenly Father, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. So, and just if you see me at a game, come up and say hi. Take a picture with me. I ain't going to say shake hands because I'm not doing that. And, you know, just be safe and dangerous. That's it.
Safe and dangerous.
Alrighty then. Chocolate Girl, you got any last words?
I do. Thank you so much, Big Daddy, for coming on the show today. Thanks
for having me.
I have really enjoyed this interview, this time with you. I really have. Makes me want to pay closer attention to my 76er game.
You need to come. Come and check out a Sixers game.
I might have to get up to Philly, see one. Or maybe because when Philly comes down here and plays the Hornets, maybe I can get down there. But
yeah,
I don't even know if they play the Hornets. Do y'all play the Hornets? Dennis used to know the whole schedule. So, but
season
anyway.
Season start October 19th.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Big Memphis. Yeah, mm-hmm. But anyway.
I'm definitely going to that Memphis game again.
See what I'm telling you, Big Daddy? You need to get him. You need to get him. That's all he talks about.
I'll forget
it. Thank you for coming on. This has been a great day.
Thanks for having me.
I just want to leave the people with a word. I always try to leave with a good word. So my word today is show your story. Whatever your story is, show it. Show it to the world. Reveal it to the world. Don't try to cover it up because your story could be a gift for somebody else. Somebody else could learn valuable lessons from your story. Also, your story could save somebody's life. Sharing your story could actually save somebody. And there's no feeling like doing something that actually helps somebody and keeps them from like taking their own life or something. There's nothing better than that to be able to do that, to say that you did that, because you help save a person's life. They're still here walking the earth. So don't be afraid to show your story. Don't hide it. It's your you for a reason. Share it with the world. Be like Big Daddy. Put a wig on. Come act crazy. Draw attention so people can say, hey, there's joy in the world. Because everybody needs joy. Most of the time when I do these wrap-ups, I mention the word joy a couple of times. Find your joy. So show your story. Go find your joy and spread it around. That's it, Dennis.
I'm going to leave with, make sure you appreciate your blessings. As we learn through this story, Big Daddy got his blessings and appreciated them and made sure that he kept his relationships together with people. So what I've learned from this story is make sure you appreciate your blessings and mm-hmm. also make sure you take care of those relationships that you have. Those are two things I learned. The third thing that I learned in this story is I might need to be a super fan because being a podcaster ain't getting me no front row seats. That's the third thing I learned, all right? Those are the things I learned. I need to be a super fan, all right?
Yep, I agree.
I could have been sitting front row talking trash all these years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think he's changing my mind. I think I need to go get me some Hornets gear and get on down to them games.
I was sitting over there and I was like, man, because I, you know, the writing thing I leave to the chocolate writer. She's the best at it. I leave that to her. I'm not a writer. She always tell me, you need to write some of this down, put an article. Nah, it's this thing. I'm not a writer. But I could be a super fan to get those same front row seats. I could do that.
And one day, if y'all want to hear another story, I got another story to you. Because in 2019.
We still got time. You can tell it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, we want to hear it.
Okay. All right. Take the glass off of this one. And actually, I'm going to take the glass. Because this is...
Uh-oh.
I put the hat on, though, because I need a haircut.
Uh-oh.
In 2015, I had to have open heart surgery.
Mm.
Serious. So, had the surgery. They put in a metal clip in my aortic valve. Because that's where it was leaking. So, they put that in. So, 3 years later... It was Father's Day, and I was heading down to Virginia. This is where my daughter was living at the time. I was heading down to Virginia to go see her. And I went to see her on Father's Day. We celebrated, you know, Father's Day or whatever. And that Father's Day, I started feeling a little sick. So I didn't really know what was going on. I thought I was coming down with the flu or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I felt worse. So I got on the train to come back to Philadelphia, and I slept the entire train ride to show you how God covered me, because somebody could have rolled me, took whatever I had and been gone, because that's how asleep I was. Mm-hmm. So get off the train, and conductor had to wake me up to get me off the train. Got off the train in Philadelphia, came home. I slept from 1 p.m. till 10 p.m. Slept. So I got up. I knew I was sick. So I went to the emergency room. They said, you got some type of viral infection or whatever. Whatever, nothing, no big deal. So they sent me back home. 24 hours later, the emergency room was calling me back saying, you need to get back around here fast. It's serious. So my sons had to physically get me up to get to the ambulance to come back to get me, because I couldn't move. That's how sick and how much my health had went. Sent me back to the hospital. And it wasn't the original hospital where I had the surgery on. There's another hospital around here called Fitzgerald Mercy. So they took me there and they said, yeah, you have a blood infection and it might infect the metal valve in your heart, because infection goes to the metal.
That's right.
So I said, okay. So they transported me back to Presbyterian Hospital where I had the surgery at. I went in there and they ran tests and they looked and everything. And they said, okay, the infection is bad. We're going to give you an antibiotic. We're going to send you back home. So they sent me back home and my heart rate was still bad. My heart rate was like 130. So every time I stood up, my heart rate was bad. So I had to, had an appointment with the cardiologist. It was on a Friday. So I had to drive myself back to the hospital. So drive back to the hospital. I barely made it, Get back in there. I went up to my appointment with the cardiologist. I'm sitting in the room like this. And she's like, I'm calling transport. We sending you back to emergency room. Send me back to the emergency room. I get in there. They run some more tests. And come into the room. The doctor says, look, I got bad news for you. You're going to need surgery. The infection is around the valve. You're going to need surgery. If I do the surgery, you're going to die. If we don't do the surgery, you're going to die. Well, you got about 2 months to live. That's what the doctor told me. He said, it's August now. You won't see Halloween. That's what he told me. And he said this to me while he took a phone call. Sorry. But yeah, that part always gets me because this dude had the gall to be like this while he's telling me this. So right then, you know, of course I was worried, but I know the God that I serve. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, so we got on the phone, family came down, people came, prayed, blah, 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 blah. And right then and there, he says, you got to make a decision. Do you want us to do the surgery? He said, we do the surgery, we give you a 50-50 chance. And then his partner came in and said, if we do the surgery, actually it's going to be like a 40-60 chance. 40 that you'll make it, 60 that you won't. So I'm like, you know what? And God told me, God said, trust me. Trust me, I got something else planned. So I told them, just give me the antibiotics. Let me go home. If I die at home, I die at home. But I'm not going to die with you unsure about what you're about to do. So they sent out the hospice team and everything to my house and blah, blah, blah. And they trying to console me and tell me this, that, and the fourth. But I knew the God, so I ended up witnessing to them. Like, nah, God is good and worthy to be praised. If God took me right now, everything that I've been through, I wrestled, I done been in movies, I done been on TV, all my kids are doing well, I'm good. If God chose to take me now, I am good. So I went and got a second opinion because a nurse that came in, I'm going to back up a little bit, the nurse who also worked at the Wells Fargo, she came in here and she was like, wait a minute, I know who you are. You're Big Daddy. You be down at the games and stuff. And I said, yeah. And she was like, you know what? I thought it was you. I looked at your chart. They can fix you. There's a doctor that I know can fix you. And she gave me the card for the doctor. And I called this doctor. His name is Dr. Plestis. He's retired. I was his last case.
Wow.
So long story short, I go see him. He said, yeah, I can fix you, but it ain't time yet. He said, when it's time, trust me, I'll know when to do it. So months go past. So yeah, I went past Halloween. I went to see my birthday, January 2nd. I saw that birthday. So May, and I was still coming to the Sixers game religiously. I was not going to let this defeat me. Knowing I could have passed away at any time, I still came to the games. That's how diehard Sixers fan I am. So it was May, and the Sixers were in the playoffs against Toronto. This is when Jimmy Butler was here. So
that's 2018.
19. So I felt the infection coming back. So I started feeling sick again. I'm like, oh, here we come. And it's right during playoff time, and I don't want to go in now, but I had to. So go back to the doctor, go back to the hospital or whatever. He's like, it's time. So this, when he told me that night, the Sixers were playing Toronto in Toronto on the seventh game where, when Kawhi Leonard hit that shot, I was in my hospital bed watching that game like, okay, if he misses it, they go to the third round, I'm happy. But I won't be there because I know it's going to happen. But if he makes it, I won't miss nothing. So I was kind of, you know, on the fence. So they did that surgery. A couple days go by, they do the surgery. The surgery went 14 hours.
Wow.
14-hour surgery. I was in a medicated coma for 10 days. My family said it looked like they had me hooked up to the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
It was 16 different drips and stuff going on at one time. I went to a septic shock right after the surgery, and they was pretty much prepping my family. This might be it. But God. but God. Because while I was in that medicated coma, and forgive me if I start getting emotional, but sorry about that, read a message. So while I was in that medicated coma, I could hear the Holy Spirit telling me everything was going to be okay. And I could hear different family coming to the room or whatever. I heard the gospel music playing in the background. I heard the prayers. I heard it. I felt it. Then on that ninth day, there was, I heard a voice saying, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. The hard part is over. I think that was my mother, because my mother passed on 20 years ago. So I think that was her telling me it's time to wake up. I woke up that next day. Every day after that, I got a little bit stronger. And the doctors was like, yo, you ain't supposed to be doing this by now. It was the Holy Spirit giving me strength. Because I knew the God that I served. My faith never wavered. Never. And from there, I went to the rehab place. When I went to the rehab, they thought I was going to be like with a trach in my neck and this, that, and the fourth. Nah, they wheeled me in. I was watching TV, cracking jokes with the nurses and stuff. I was supposed to be in that rehab for like 2 months. I was out in 2 weeks. Wow. Back home. God's grace and mercy is so good. And if you don't, if you listen to the Sixers, to the wrestling, to the story I just told you, it's God's grace on my life. And he has blessed me. And I will continue. If you follow me on Facebook, if you notice, every day is a bunch of spiritual stuff going up.
Yes, it is.
I told God I would spend the rest of my life spreading his word.
Spreading word. Yep. Talking about you. Amen, brother. Amen. We glad you're here. Yes, we are glad you're here. Let me tell you, we have similar stories, more than you know, huh? More than you know. I've shared some with Dennis, and it's amazing. It's nothing but the blessings of God that I'm here.
Amen.
Five times.
And that's why
five times over. I wasn't supposed to be here.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's why I want to be a minister as bad as I do, because I want to continue to preach and continue to put that word out there. God is good. So anybody that's watching, that's going through, God is going to allow you to go through certain things to strengthen your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, back in the day, I wasn't a great guy.
God
blessed me. Even when I didn't deserve to be blessed, I was blessed.
You know you something when you can't even talk about it, take your whole breath away.
I did some stuff. But yeah,
get it out.
God is good.
God is good all the time. You got that right, Dennis. Is that right?
That is, yes, God is good. Mm-hmm. That is crazy, man. That is a hell of a story. Would have never known.
Yeah.
Well, have mercy.
They gave me 2 months. They said, you will not see Halloween. And this was like the middle of August.
It's crazy. I knew a girl used to always say, a lot of these doctors you see is quacks. She used to always say that. And I'd be like, oh, what's the school, you know,
they don't know.
Give them a chance.
They don't know. He was so arrogant about it. He was just like, just dismiss me. Dismiss my life.
Yeah.
So.
And it's crazy because, you know, I started paying attention. It was like when you go to the doctor's office, most of them are practices, because that's what they're doing. They practice. And then once they get real good at practice, they become a specialist. And you go see the specialists.
Yep.
That's what I was right. Now, before we roll out, because I got some new information, what movies were you in?
Oh, all right. I'm not going to tell you the name of the movie because it's embarrassing. But
no, I watch movies. You gotta tell me the name of the movie.
I can't tell you this one. I'm not gonna tell you this one.
As long as it's not one of those X-rated ones, but
No. There was a guy who came and got a bunch of wrestlers to do a karate film, and I'm gonna leave it go there. And I did the film, and I did a very embarrassing part in this film. And I'm gonna leave it go there. Also did a film that was called Old Head. But my scene was deleted. And if you saw Uncut Gems,
yes,
you seen the clip of me shaking my belly. and Uncut Gems, Adam Sandler.
I've never seen that movie.
Go back and watch that movie. And the scene where Adam Sandler was talking to his divorced wife and he was trying to get her to turn the TV station to the game.
Oh.
There's a clip of Big Daddy shaking his belly for at least about 3-4 seconds.
I'm going to find you. Don't worry about it.
He'll find it. That's for sure.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to put the clip up.
So those are the couple
you got to tell me that karate movie, though.
Nah, because it was embarrassing.
did it make it to the screen or was it straight to DVD?
Straight to DVD.
Oh, I might not find
it. Straight to Blockbuster.
Oh, it was a while ago. Oh, yeah. Straight to Blockbuster. It was a straight while
to Blockbuster.
I miss Blockbuster. I don't care what nobody say.
It's easier now, though. You could get whatever movie just...
It's too complicated.
But like I said, I thank you for allowing me to be on y'all show today. I thank you for hearing my story.
Actually, it's the other way around. We thank you for coming.
Yep.
And we sure do. There's a lot of times going through this podcast game, people say, yeah, we'll be on, we'll be there. They'll never show up.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not like that. Whenever somebody asks me to do something, I'll do it.
And I'm glad you did.
We appreciate it.
I will be seeing you at Sixers games this year.
You just come on down, mm-hmm. Say hi.
Yeah, I definitely will. Definitely will come down and say hi. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. Thank y'all for tuning into this story. Got a beautiful story today, too. And I want to say God bless. Great day.
Bye.